We continue our series, Angels Among Us, and this is the last Sunday with that series. And this morning we're looking at The Star Still Shines. We are in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, and is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to try and kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, it's Epiphany. Two things about Epiphany. I don't know if you do the 12 days of Christmas. Anyone do that? It's not deep in some of the traditions. I love the tradition just because extending Christmas is great, isn't it? I mean, not just one day, but 12 days, not really to get more presents, but to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, there is that great song that we used to sing, the 12 days of Christmas. Do you recall? So today is actually the 10th day of Christmas, okay? So your true love should have gotten you, or already is getting you, what? 10 Lords a-leaping. Do we have 10 guys here willing to? I don't know. All these, by the way, have. Thank you. I love that. Made my day. Oh, my gosh. There is actually a Christian foundation for each of those. Now then, so if you haven't made plans for the 10 Lords of Leaping, you can say to your true love that you're going to do yesterday, which is 9. Yeah. But you know what it really means in Christian terms? It's the 9 fruit of the Spirit. So you can say, I'm going to work this year on the 9 fruit of the Spirit. So each of those has a Christian meaning. So I love that. And the other thing is it's about the Magi, who took a little while to get there. Now, we don't know exactly when the Magi arrived, but they followed the star, and I just love that. And don't we need a star to start out the new year? By the way, Happy New Year. Seriously? After 2020? Happy New Year? And it reminds me that in the darkest night, the star shines brightest, doesn't it? And interestingly enough, on a year when we really needed it, Blue Christmas, which is the longest night of the year, fell on exactly the same night as the conjunction of the Bethlehem star, right? Which is Saturn and Jupiter coming into alignment. Now, there's another Bethlehem star. Sometimes scholars debate which one it was, but it was nice this year, on the longest night of the year, that we had the Bethlehem star. I don't know if you saw that. It was a little cloudy where Samantha and I were, but we saw it. We celebrated, and we went out the next night and saw pictures. And you could see in days how it could point because the two planets in the conjunction and how it aligned and all that. But I thought, for me, it was a real symbol because we, like so many people, were trying to put out Christmas lights early because we thought 2020 really needs some Christmas and some lights. And so the Bethlehem star kind of was the light in the night for us, as with a lot of people. But as I was reflecting on that and realizing about Epiphany and the great story of the Magi coming, I realized that, you know, in a year where we celebrate so much, moving from 2020, and 2020 has some blessings, and certainly even the pandemic has had some hidden blessings, though tremendous adversity and challenge for so many of our people and folks around the world, that we really need a star that still shines. And we need it in a lot of different ways, and so I want to reflect on that this morning. I don't know if you know the poem by Adeline Ann Procter, 1800s poet, 19th century, from England. And she was actually the favorite poet of Queen Elizabeth. You've got to go back to that. But anyway, she's got a great poem entitled Never Too Late, and this is what the poem says. Have we not all amid life's petty strife some pure ideal of a noble life that once seemed possible? Did we not hear the flutter of its wings, and I feel it near? And just within our reach it was, and yet we lost it in this daily jar and fret, and now live idle in a vague regret. But still our place is kept, and it will wait, ready for us to fill it soon or late. No star is lost we once have seen. We always may be what we might have been. Since good, though only thought, has life and breath, God's life can always be redeemed from death. And evil in its nature is decay, and any hour can blot it all away. The hopes that lost in some far distant scene may be the truer life, and this the dream. No star is ever lost we once have seen. We always may be what we might have been. I don't know, after the long year that we've had this year, and the trial and travail, and many folks hurt and heartbreak, if we dare to dream again, if we dare to follow the star. And therefore, I think it's even more important to hear this story this morning. We've been doing the series on angels among us, and many people talk about the four angels of Christmas. We've already done the four angels, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth, we talk about Mary and Joseph in a dream, and we talk about the angels to the shepherds. But there is, in this passage, another angel, and maybe even two angels and more. The first angel, maybe, because angel in the Greek really means messenger. Now, there's clear in some instances it is actually a heavenly angel. But I like to think, in some sense, that God sometimes uses creation as an angel, as a messenger, and so it was with the Magi, right? That Magi saw the star that we saw, maybe this star or another conjunction, there's two Bethlehem stars, but either one, doesn't really matter, in the sky, and were able to recognize better than some of those near Christ in Bethlehem that something special was happening in all creation. And I love the story because the tradition is, and if you kind of look at the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that these were wealthy, affluent, but more importantly, may have not even been of the Jewish faith, from a different faith, different place, different races. The tradition is from Persia, Africa, and India, from the East. And therefore, actually, Epiphany is a higher holy day than Christmas in many parts of the Eastern Church, this part of the Christian Church. And I love that. And the significant thing, among so many other things, is it's the first instance recorded that people who were Gentiles, who were outside of sort of the inner ring, came to kneel and worship the Christ child. And I think it's a beautiful story of the Magi coming and seeing the baby Jesus and worshiping and giving him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I love that Bethlehem star. And for a moment you think, well, what is Matthew thinking, right? And the story of these kings, these Magi, these wise men from afar coming, and they've got this star and they've got this dream. It just seems fanciful in some ways, doesn't it? You wonder, does this guy have his feet rooted in reality? But then you got to remember that Matthew did have his feet rooted in reality. He traveled with Jesus for 3 years. He was near the crucifixion. He saw the resurrection. And he'd been through now at least a couple decades of persecution of the Christian church and seen his fellow sisters and brothers persecuted. But see, amidst all that sort of fanciful thing, we realize that there is a reality there, which is we can see the Bethlehem star to this day and see it guided. But we also note that in this passage, he doesn't sort of push aside the fact that Herod asked the Magi where the Christ child was and wanted to kill Christ from the very start, from the threat of Christ. He lets us see that the world was dark, not just that night, but from all the threats of the Herodian world, full of injustice and oppression and hurt and heartbreak. And then he doesn't end there, because then we see another angel, a real heavenly angel. And the angel comes again to Joseph in Joseph's dream and whispers to Joseph that he needs to flee and take the Christ child to Egypt. And Joseph, in the middle of the night, now used to hearing an angel, listens to the angel and flees for his life, but more importantly, the life of Jesus and also of Mary. And so the reality of the hardship of the world is there. But Matthew is bold enough to say that the star, I think, still shines. The dream lives. The Magi who came and worshiped had their life changed and took the dream and took that transforming moment wherever they went. And Matthew is bold enough to write it large on the pages of the birth narrative that begins his great gospel. Can you just take a moment and take that in for a moment? If you think this isn't real sometimes, that it doesn't mix together not just the hopes and dreams of all the years, but also the realities of the hurt and heartbreak and darkness that we wrestle against each and every day. And I believe Matthew is bold enough to say that the star still shines. And you and I can see that star. Now, we don't know everything that happened to the Magi, but we know this, that they came and they worshiped Christ. God guided them there from afar. They knelt down, these wise people, ancient from of old, different races and places, and had their lives touched and transformed and went to the far corners of the earth, Persia, India, Africa, and spread the good news of Christ's birth. And we know that Jesus grew up to shed his life and his love on Calvary, that we know forgiveness and grace and make it all true, and was raised to new life. So how does the star still guide us today? Well, people have always been brave enough to follow that star, haven't they? And see it shine. I think of people who have actually seen the creation star in a very real sense and their life transformed. One of my people that I really enjoy listening to and reading his writings is Hugh Ross. He's an astrophysicist who was an avowed atheist and was looking at a very elite telescope at the far reaches of the universe, and one day it just dawned on him that these laws that were here on this earth, where exactly he was, are the same laws of astrophysics and gravity and everything that are across the universe. And suddenly he said, this isn't an accident. And so he began a journey of faith that led him eventually to Christ, to the Christ child, through the stars and a telescope. And then he shared the good news. And many of us, we may not be staring through a telescope, but we've been touched by creation that led us to God's word and to Christ. And so the stars still shine today. But it shines in other ways too, because I think Christ still leads us in the darkest night. I think of people who've been guided by a star that changed history. I think of Luther and standing up for grace as the number one thing, and forgiveness and God's word. And it was only through Christ's grace and his work on the cross that gives us forgiveness, and he shone brightly. I think of others who struggled against injustice, and I think of Abraham Lincoln, who stood for what was right despite all the conflict. And I think of William Wilberforce in England, who was a Quaker who traveled around talking to people about racial injustice and speaking against slavery, and without one shot ever being fired, was able to abolish slavery in England. I think of others as well, Martin Luther King Jr., who stood for a dream and believe that we should not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the character, and that we should raise our children that way. And I know we have not yet attained to the full embodiment of those dreams, but the star still shines. The light still guides us in the darkest night, and you and I can be part of that. Make no mistake about it, they aren't perfect, nor are we, any of us. But God still guides us in the darkest night. And God's grace and forgiveness still gives us second, third, and more chances in life. Are you guided by a star? Have you pushed aside a dream that you once thought about changing the world, a world that still needs change, whether it is the good news of salvation of Jesus Christ or working so that all people everywhere can know the freedoms that we enjoy, or just reaching out to someone who feels heartbroken and lonely, who is crying from the loss of a loved one, and just pick up the phone and tell them that you care? We got lots of people who need light in the darkness. Now, here's the amazing thing about all that, I think, because there is an implication here that you and I can be angels too, that we can be messengers, because we're not heavenly angels. Make no mistake, I'm not a Gabriel. But I do believe that you and I can be messengers. Blessings to the feet of those who bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those near and far. And so today, are you willing to let your light shine? To be part of the light in the darkness, whether it's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to those near and far at work or at school, on the internet or at home, wherever you are, for working towards something greater and brighter and bigger than us, the star that Christ would have us follow. For Christ is the bright and morning star that guides all of us. Now, just like Matthew, I'm not going to kid you that the darkness isn't real. William Wilberforce faced real oppression and pushback when he worked in England for the abolishment of slavery. Abraham Lincoln faced a lot of opposition, was eventually assassinated. I think of Gandhi, who is guided by the Sermon on the Mount. I think of others throughout our history. Martin Luther King Jr. paid a price, the greatest price, but was willing to stand for a dream. But people still are guided by that star. I think of a story that I love of Mary Bethune Cookman. And I don't know if you know her story, but she was an African-American woman quite some time back in the 20th century, in the early part of the 20th century. And she really believed that everyone should have an equal opportunity at education. She knew that a lot of African Americans at that time did not have an equal opportunity to education at all, nothing like we see today. And I know there's still injustices to be overcome. But she decided what she was going to do was to start a college for, particularly for African Americans, that would welcome men and women that needed this education. It was a doorway to developing themselves and opening doors to opportunity. And so she went to the city of Daytona Beach and she said, hey, I need a plot of land. And the only plot of land that was available to her was the city dump. And I think most of us would just give up on our dream right about then, wouldn't we? But not her. She went ahead and began renovations and made room for places of education. And today, Mary Bethune Cookman College stands as a beacon of light, as an institution of education that welcomes people and particularly works for racial justice and offering a lot of opportunity for young African Americans. She was willing to see the star in the darkness, and she was a person of great faith. Today, where are you with your dreams? I mean, has 2020 just taken it out of you? I know it's taken a lot out of me, okay? I'm just going to tell you that I'm a little bit tired of the struggles. And I've had some dear loved ones pass away. And I've had some friends that are struggling even now with that. I know other people who have lost their jobs and other people who are just struggling with relationships. And I know there's other problems outside the pandemic. Let's be real. This isn't the only thing we've been wrestling with, but it has highlighted so many things. There's a lot of darkness out there. But isn't it true that in the darkest night that we do need a light that shines brightest? The good news of Jesus Christ come as God's love, God with us, Emmanuel, to embrace us in all of our struggles is all the more important right now. Important for us to allow Christ to change our lives, for we all have sins and shortcomings, but also that you and I would be given a candle in the night to shine bright. I love that moment on Christmas Eve where we light all the candles, and it's even better than lighting up the Christmas tree, and it's a favorite service of the year for Savannah and I, and it was extra special this year because for me, it carried an even greater message. So I ask you today to hear this story again from Matthew, to start out the new year, not just close out Christmas, but in this darkest night, to see not just Happy New Year, but to be real about the problems and challenges and hurts and heartbreaks that we face, but to realize that God's light in Christ, the bright and morning star, is still shining bright today. And that God needs angels, messengers today more than ever, who will carry the light out into the darkness of the hurt and heartbreak of our world and make a difference. And so I challenge you today to see the star, to allow Christ to touch your life, and to be guided by that light and to be part of the light. I'm going to close with this thought. Part of our Christmas tradition has always been to see A Christmas Carol. How many people love that story of A Christmas Carol that Charles Dickens wrote about the miserly Scrooge who sees the ghost of Christmas past and present and future and is so moved by that he changes his life on Christmas Eve and wakes up Christmas morning as a changed person who cares and shares. And it's a great story. By the way, Dickens was a person of very deep faith. In fact, Charles Dickens, it was who wrote the introduction to Adderley Ann Proctor's book of poetry in which this poem that I read is found. Maybe Charles Dickens thought that his moment had come to share a story that has been a light in the night and help people realize that life can change from whatever shortcomings they have to be a person who cares and shares and is part of the light. So in closing this morning, I want to read that poem again and invite you into the dream that you may have given up on, the star that you thought that had faded, and the love of Christ that you thought maybe wasn't there the way that it should be and the way that you want, and to realize that the light still shines and that Christ still loves us in a darkest night. Have we not all a midlife's petty strife, some pure ideal of a noble life that once seemed possible? Did we not hear the flutter of its wings and feel it near? And just within our reach it was, and yet we lost it in this daily jar and fret, and now live idle in a vague regret. But still our place is kept, and it will wait, ready for us to fill it soon or late. No star is ever lost we once have seen. We always may be what we might have been, since good, though only thought, has life and breath. God's life can always be redeemed from death, and evil in its nature is decay, and any hour can blot it all away. The hopes that lost in some far distant seem may be the truer life, and this the dream. No star is ever lost we once have seen. We always may be what we might have been. The star still shines. God's love still radiates across the universe to us today. And you and I can be touched and transformed just like those magi when we kneel down and worship Christ and carry the light to some far distant place. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we do realize, even in this new year, the struggles and hurts and heartbreaks and darkness that we have wrestled with in 2020 and beyond are real. But even more real is the light of your love that shines in the darkest night. That shines to each of us today to lift our hearts and eyes, to touch and transform us, to light the candle of our life, to allow us to be transformed and shine by your love. So Lord, help us to dream again. Help us to follow you anew. And even as the Magi and Joseph struggled against the darkness, but went forth to shine bright in the darkest night, so may we also, through your power and to your glory. And all God's people said, amen.